It's always the quiet ones you got to watch out for. CryptoTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I'm your host. We have another in our weekend segment for the bullshit that is the Saitama saga. I have to step back on this one because in my research and background, this was challenging because the person in question was not as outspoken as the rest of them. You know, he wasn't like the cult leader and the Manny the rug puller or any of that stuff. No, he was kind of in the background. He came up a little bit later and he was in the background and was not putting himself out there nearly as much as the rest of the crew. But the case notes on him are probably way more hysterical than anybody else in the group. That's why I saved the best for last, because I got to give kudos to whoever wrote up the case doc. It's clear that whoever wrote it, they were on a mission. They wanted to take this down. They wanted to make sure, no, we want to get this one. This is going to happen here. Nam Tran, Saitama. Do we really know what his title was? Was he a CFO? Because that's what he said he was at a point. The case docs call him a chief business officer. He himself referred to himself as a CFO. So we don't really know. We already knew there was a lie in the job title. Nam came on, as far as publicly, I should say, came on roughly around the end of 2021, ramped up, but wasn't heavily involved other than Cytocard, which would later come on the Cytochain side, but started with Saitama. Before that, he was just doing, you know, every now and then he'd do posts, photos, retweets, but he was not as heavily engaged as the rest of them, not even close. And I was never sure what his function was. If he's chief business officer, it was never clear to me what do you do? You know, what exactly is your function and role? So I was really excited to see the case docs so I could kind of wrap my head around what it exactly is that Nam Tran does. We know from the case docs, and by the way, this episode is probably going to be shorter than the others because his involvement was less involved than the others. And there's limited information still remaining about this Joker. But you know he's involved in the pump and dump scheme. So he's culpable for sure. He's named he's indicted. And allegedly he lived in the United States. I don't see any evidence that he took a deal. I don't see any evidence that they caught him. And interestingly, there's a note from the FBI that said that he's allegedly living in the state of Washington. So that seems to indicate he might be on the run. But I don't know that for sure. I'm saying that I don't see any evidence he took a deal. I don't see any evidence of a extradition or anything. And saying he's allegedly in the state of Washington, how can it be allegedly? Do you not know where the guy is? So everything I'm going to cover is everything I know around Nam Tran and the involvement, as well as possible information around where he might be. Let's go on with this nonsense. In order to tell our story, we need to back up a little bit. We have to go back to Steve Rocket Crypto. The reason we have to go back to Steve Rocket Crypto is, and this is me connecting dots. I don't have direct evidence of it. I'm connecting all the different statements made from Steve, as well as what's in the case document and things recollected from the time. This at the end, so after the failed November 13th Vegas event for Saitama, and cult leader Russ is up on videos and saying, well, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, it's the best we could have done. We told you it wasn't going to be ready yet, but we're working on it, and Certix got it. This is now December. The fallout with Lily, where Brad says, we got kids, we got to go on our own way, and whatever the F, right? During this, in this middle period, Steve Rocket Crypto, so after the failed November 13th Vegas event, Steve Rocket Crypto had, and still does, but at the time he had a YouTube show where he was kind of put, and I don't know if he did it on his own or if he was asked to do it, but he was put in front of all the flack coming from it, where he was, again, either asked or he chose to do it to try to help calm the people down. Now, obviously, cult leader was in the front with respect to those BS responses that we would frequently see about the status of the Certic and everything else. I'm saying that from a community perspective, saying, guys, we're going to get there, you know, keeping the spirit, you know, cheerleading. That was Steve Rocket Crypto at the time. And I distinctly remember the community liked him a lot. They liked what he was doing, but there were some people in the community that were skeptical from him from the jump. because what happened prior to this, and it comes back to Nam, follow me. Prior to this, Steve Rocket Crypto was all over SHIB. This is before Satama even became a glint in anybody's eye. He was all over SHIB. He was one of the multiple people saying, SHIB to a dollar, SHIB to a dollar, SHIB to a dollar, deep, deep, deep. He was one of those. Then he abandoned SHIB, says, it's never going to happen. We're done. It's not going to happen. Comes to Satama. Satama to a dollar, Satama to a dollar, you know. And so it's the same thing. So he comes over there. People may or may not remember. And if you weren't following the online, kudos to you, by the way. But if you weren't following the online, Steve Rocket Crypto suddenly leaves the team. There's a letter put out by Satama, and all the rest of these scammers are listed as the signatory. And they basically said, you know, Steve's been removed from the project team. He's no longer involved. Steve did the back and forth with Rodney, Crypto Journeys, and this was over mobile. They were texting back and forth. And in the very messages, Steve specifically said, you know, he didn't want to come forward with this. He didn't want to cause FUD. He didn't want to cause a panic to the community, but he's expressing concerns to Rodney about what's going on. He basically said, this is where he made the allegation, that the wallet was not owned by the Satama team and instead was owned by somebody else, which I speculated was this unknown person in Australia. Didn't have any evidence. After this message comes out, Rodney, for whatever reason, puts up a live, well, not a live, but a video, and he's showing the actual text. He's literally exposing the text. Now, I don't know the legalities of where he lived and, you know, secretly recording something and posting it. I digress. But he's sharing all the stuff that Steve's putting out, presumably in confidence, about how he's feeling and the reasons that he left, that he felt that he was taking the abuse and he felt that something wasn't right. And he wanted to educate and he wanted it to be on the up and up. And he didn't feel like it was on the up and up. He felt like he was not getting the real answers that he deserved. And so he chose to leave. That he chose to leave, not that he was forced out, which was the original narrative that he might have been forced out. He says that he left on his own. He would then go on to create a Bull Run Life, I believe it's called. He's not posted in like 4 months. 4 months ago, he posted something. He's not been seen since Bull Run Life. I think it crapped out. I don't know for sure. Now, after Steve leaves, all of a sudden, Nam is now starting to tweet online. Initially, he's doing basic tweets. We're not talking anything crazy or, you know, like nothing like the rest of them. Very basic stuff. Retweeting stuff here and there. They did some stuff about the ePayMe. They did some stuff about the Cider card and all this garbage. But it's very low key. Of all of them, you know, he's not doing anywhere near the same level of shill and hype. What we would learn from the case document is that he had a major bag. There were people in the community that saw he had openly admitted he was buying and buying and buying. So we knew that he was buying tokens. It didn't seem like he was given any initial tokens. It didn't seem like that he had bought, you know, when V was offering discounts. It didn't seem like he was one of the ones that was improperly enriched. It seemed like he bought early. It still has some moral questionability because he bought during a time prior to when they knew they were going to do a legal pump and dump with the, you know, the Dex tools, Dex scores, the, you know, running bots over here and shill hype over here. Like they knew prior to all these activities that what they were going to do was going to cause a run up. So if he bought in at a time when it was crapped out in basic confidence, minus the pump and dump, that wouldn't have been a problem. The fact that he bought in knowing they were doing an illegal pump and dump, that's literally the definition of a pump and dump, is you are doing something that's going to pump the token. You're getting tokens prior to that and then initiating said pump and dump so that you can dump off the project. I'm going to follow through the case because a lot that was said in the case intrigues me, and I can't find any background as to Nam, any education, nothing. His LinkedIn just says self-employed. The only employment is Saitama. Well, I know that wasn't his only job. That's not possible. Chances are he has some other information on there and he deleted it, or he never had a LinkedIn and chose to make one to give the illusion of credibility. I can't say how they met. I'm assuming it was VFAM, but I don't know that. That's an assumption. I know that at one point, Nam was living in Bellingham. I know that at one point he was living in San Francisco. I know that at one point he was in Massachusetts. Beyond that, I don't know where he is or where he was or what was going on. I know he stopped tweeting roughly about the 6th of this month. So we know everything that led to the case. The SEC believes that these are unregistered securities. At the end of the day, that was the That was what got the target scope on them. They believe that these, you know, Saitama, Saito Realty are unregistered securities. So let's start there. Saito Realty, I didn't see that Nam was directly heavily involved in it, although he was involved. I didn't see heavy involvement, not to the degree of like Manny the Rug Puller, for example. Seemed like his was really just, he's along and he's helping with certain communities, like with the Asian country communities and some of the business partnerships. And then some of the, you know, things like the Saito card. Saito card, he's all over it. So it seemed like he was really more about business development, more so that than actual development of the software. From what I can tell, again, I don't have any background as to his credibility or education with regards to this. If that was what he was doing, I don't see what credibility he had. We saw that he was taking photos with all like EPayMe and all these other big players along with all the other scammers, but we don't know what led to these. What was your background? What was your history? Where'd you come from? I don't have that information and it's not in the case document. All I can see is that ultimately, roughly around, so after the fail event, after Steve Rocket Crypto leaves, so roughly around late December, January-ish, Nam starts tweeting for the first time, retweeting more than he's tweeting. He's just sharing information. At one point, he shares his wallet address. Now, this is after the fact, okay? So he shares a wallet address. It's possible that he was tweeting before this and he deleted all those. That's entirely plausible because people called out. He was sharing his wallet address at the time, showing he was doing hundreds of trillions of purchases of the token. At the time, I'm fairly certain that had to be the Saitama token because it would have been the only one that had that amount of supply. But remember, if, again, V was selling tokens and Tram wasn't there at the time and he bought them but knew that they were going to be pumping and dumping, it's still bad and it's still illegal, even if he put his own money up. So I'm not dismissing what happened. I'm calling out that people say directly, no, he shared his wallet. We saw in his wallet he was buying the token and buying a lot of it. We also saw that he was selling. So they saw evidence he bought. They saw evidence he sold. They didn't know what was going on under the hood. And that's where the case doc comes in. The issue with the case doc is that it does not give a lot of information about activities from Nam other than things that were happening in the telescam more than anything else. That was where they were talking about how they were going to do the pump and dump activities that I talked about in the Max Hernandez episode. There were also some statements made, and apparently Nam made some of these. I didn't see it, but apparently Nam made some of these or possibly retweeted some of these, and that contributed to some of the problems in why they were unregistered securities in the first place. You might have remembered at a time, they said that the white paper was reviewed by the feds. Regulators reviewed the white paper. That never happened. Nobody reviewed the white paper. They just lied. Now, that could have just been cult leader BSing as he normally did, but I know multiple of them had said that this has been reviewed by regulators. That's why we did the LLC so that we could make sure it was all on the up and up. Likely what they did is they had somebody not in the United States do a review and say it was okay. Saying it was reviewed by regulators, if they had it reviewed by somebody not in the United States, that doesn't count because Saitama LLC at the time was in the United States. And you're marketing to United States-based people by way of Willie D and by way of Michael and by way of Gabe, et cetera, and so on. So if it's true that they had some regulator outside the U.S. review it, it doesn't matter. They damn sure didn't have anybody in the United States, in terms of regulators, do it. Guarantee. In 2022, June, this is when they move Saitama LLC to Dubai. And I did my video and I said, it's fine to have some sort of presence in Dubai. I don't agree with you leaving the United States because you're going to lose sight of the legalities that you need to have oversight. You need to make sure you're in line with the regulations in the United States. If you don't do that, it's going to come back to bite you. Of course, here we are. Saito Realty starts to get promoted, right? So they're talking about how Saito Realty, they're going to be purchasing properties and you're going to have a stake in this and it's going to help the Saitama token. This is all after the failed November 13th Vegas event. So essentially they're telling you without directly saying so, but they're telling you that they're going to do a Ponzi scheme with the Saito Realty to benefit this over here. And they said it was going to be on Saito Mask / Saito Pro. Fine. Then they talked about the whole side of logistics and that's not a token. It's just another business that they're talking about doing. And that's when the sighted card starts coming out. They're pushing on this Wolfcaster. They're pushing on all these little shinies. They're spinning up all these other things. Again, at a point, they had talked about doing some other stuff leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event, which contributed some of the hype. But when you have such a catastrophic failure of an event, the expectation is you're going to stop and fix that first before moving on to shinies, which I called out, and they were not interested in doing that. They wanted to keep pushing forward as all this garbage. In the white paper then, back then, for Saitama, so we're talking the one they said was regulatory reviewed, some might recall that they claimed that Saitama had anti-whale mechanics, and cult leader himself multiple times said there's anti-whale mechanics in Saitama. It is nearly impossible for a whale to dump the project. Your funds are safe. You're not going to get crapped on. We've taken every step. And if you remember what was going on roughly late September all the way through the failed November 13th event, the level of climb gave people the mistaken impression that there was no capability for whales to dump on the project because it was just going up without significant drop. What we would understand later is that there were sales. They just were very strategic about said sales, not just the scammers here, but also multiple people in, you know, the community, people that had bought in, you know, the terrarium people and everybody else. We knew that sales were happening. We knew that there was going to be a lot of selling that happened and occurred. We know from the case documents that NAM and VFAM were in some ways communicating around the time that V was trying to pump Saitama before the current team took it over. What we don't know specifically is if NAM had anything to do with said pumps back then. We know he was later. We don't know if he was back then. We know that NAM started to do his purchases right around the time that V was architecting those fake pumps back before the team took over. So we knew that NAM had somewhat of a bag leading up. We know he purchased it. Again, what I don't know is if he bought it from V or if he bought it open market. That I do not know. Once cult leader builds up his shill group, he builds this public telescam group. And at this time, we're starting to see more people start the growth of the people that are buying into the project. It's around this time that the wash trading begins. Allegedly, this is the allegation, allegedly, Nam Tran is kind of the lookout. He's watching the door, the virtual door to telescam, seeing people start to come into the channel, seeing the growth and the pattern. There's others that are chatting, mods and chatting and saying, yep, we're going to do this. This is going to work. And we're going to do great stuff. And then Nam is, by the way, telling, okay, guys, this is the scammers, by the way, telling these guys, okay, now do some buys. Do some more buys. Let's trigger some more buys. Show them that the graph's going up. You know, do some more buys. Let's get it going. Keep it small. Don't make it too large. Don't make any red flags. Just keep buying. We got it. We're doing this, man. Keep on doing this. They keep doing this for a couple days. Eventually, they flush out the whale that I was talking about with VFAM. So they get the whale out. They start then coordinating internally with all the different 2B scammers. So now they're growing the internal group. They actually call out at the time. They don't want too many people in this. So we're talking the people that were the managing members of Saitama LLC. They said specifically they don't want too many people in this little small group because of the risk somebody could screenshot and, you know, share out what they were doing. That basically they didn't want any moles in the group. Spitball, tinfoil. Is it possible that this is why Steve Rocket Crypto was forced out? Not fired, but they're doing things to make him not want to be there because they're trying to get rid of him on the sly. I can't say, I'm asking. Is that possible? Is it possible that's why the Willie D thing happened on CoinMarketCap? Is it possible that cult leader or one of these other scammers coordinated with CoinMarketCap to put that banner up there to force Willie D out? Because it was odd that that happened. The timing of it happening, the specificity of it happening, is random. It didn't make any sense why that happened all of a random blue sudden. Remember, you got other people. Cult leader, he has a criminal record. Brad Beatty has a criminal record. Multiple of them have criminal records, but only him gets a banner on CoinMarketCap at a time. And then all of a sudden, Willie D's gone. We don't see, hear nothing about that ever again. I'm saying, tinfoil, Is it possible that some of these things were done to get rid of people that they didn't trust, to force some of these people out that they didn't trust with this information, only to have frickin' only to have Nam Tran sitting up there recording a video of his laptop of them doing wash trades and exploiting Dex Score. Anyway, I digress. So now, after the fact, right, they're saying, okay, we got it. We got these people. We got their money. Dude, we're going to make this. It's going to work. Now, they're all sitting on big bags. They're sitting on major bags, and leading up to the event, that's when they start the sales. This is when people called out. We're seeing sales. We saw sales from Cult Leader, and he denied it. People directly saw sales from Nam, and he denied it at the time. I remember the chatter when they caught his wallet address. It was on Twitter. He's deleted that. But they caught his wallet address, and they're like, dude, you're straight up selling on us. What's going on here? This is prior to the event. But the point is that we knew people were selling. We didn't know at the time that there was pump and dump activity, and we didn't know who all was specifically coordinating it. I'm saying that Nam had bought major bags, and we know that he bought bags. We know he bought, I know at least 100 trillion he bought. We know that people think he bought up to 200 trillion. I can't verify the 200 trillion. I know he bought 100 trillion for sure. So we know he bought bags. What we're saying is we don't know after where he bought them from. Did he buy them open market or did he buy them from V? It's still bad because he knew he was going to be doing the pump and dump scam with all the different scammers in the group. Now, fast forward, and we're trying to get more traction on everything else other than the Satama token. As far as they're concerned, they got their money. They did what they wanted. Now they're going to start the Ponzi. This is the side of Realty, the side of Card, the side of EDU. The Ponzi has now started. They now are all in on this business. And this is where we bridge into Manny the Rug Puller, who we'll talk about tomorrow. But the point is, we now have all this money. We've made the getaway, but they couldn't let it go. They couldn't let it go, and they got greedy, specifically Nam and Manny the Cult Leader, Manny the Rug Puller. Well, I guess he's a cult leader now, but Manny the Rug Puller. And now they're starting to get in to more of this shill and hype around all the other stuff that's going on. They launched the V2 token. The V2 token, if you remember, this is when they said, we're going to airdrop to all existing holders. That's when Russ said, no Wolfpack member left behind. And people ended up not getting the tokens. It turns out they had, during the time that they launched this V2 token, remember, I had called out in one of my videos in the white paper, they said, we're not going to open up trading until everybody has gotten their airdrops, only to have them turn around and still make it live. Russ later would admit that what they did is they wanted to get the fees because there was fees around the transactions, and they were trying to use those to pay for the airdrops because gas was sky high and they didn't anticipate this. That was what he said. Is it possible that the reason that they opened up trades was to do more pumping because they had already hired this company to help do more wash trading for them and to help the pumps on all these different platforms? So is it possible that they said, no, we want to go ahead and make this live, go ahead and turn it on. We're not going to wait. Let's go ahead and get more people. It doesn't matter about the other Wolfpack people still waiting on the tokens, watching in the wings on their V1 that they can't do anything with because there's no liquidity. They're watching and seeing the chart. If you remember, it jumped. It pumped and pumped and pumped, and they can't do anything. So they didn't get their airdrops. They're complaining to the cult leader and everybody in Satama, and they're just making excuses. And I'm saying that in the case document, they specifically call out the fact that they authorized to go ahead and make trading live on the various central exchanges. They said, no, go ahead and start doing your thing because we want to get more people in this thing, regardless of everybody left behind. So your tokens are locked up while they're doing this amount of transactional all the way through this period of time to the tune of, I'm going to do the math raw in my head, got to be about $150 million. Of transactions after they did this nonsense where your money was locked up and they're doing this off the side. So I'm going to skip the whole side of Realty piece because I want to wait till I get to Manny the Rug Puller to talk about some of that because he was more on that side. The point is that Nam was right in the dead center of the reason that V2 was launched after the fact, and they do the airdrop, and they say they're dropping to everybody, but they don't drop to everybody. They claim they were not going to make it live, but they made it live before they finished the airdrops, and they allowed it to trade, and a lot of people never got the airdrops. What I'm saying is Nam was one of the orchestrators of why that was a shit show. He was right in the front. He was the one communicating with the different exchanges to tell them to go live. He was the one communicating with the scammer market maker, the one who's making pump traffic, fake traffic. He's coordinating all these pieces to help artificially pump, get more people, pump it, pump it, pump it. Meanwhile, you still got people left behind. All their money's locked in the business. It's possible. That whole fiasco really caught the eyes now of the FBI, because it's like, okay, wait a minute. You got all these people's money locked up, and yet you're off here doing this over here. Okay, fast forward now. Gotbit gets involved. Nam and Manny the Rug Puller. Gotbit gets involved. Again, they want them to pump traffic. Just like with this other one, they want more pump traffic. Your money's still locked up in there, but they want more because they see how successful it was and how much money they cleaned. Your money, by the way. How much money they cleaned. They want more out of Gotbit. Gotbit had been involved all the way through the failed November 13th Vegas event. You might remember that during this time span, so you say November all the way, to like mid 2023, this is when it got really bad with all the different cult mentality out there, that there was just so many people that believed that Russ was going to turn it around, that they were just working as hard as they could, everything's going to be on the up and up, the Hezbollah nonsense and all these, you know, things that didn't make any sense, where it's like, geez, you're just having fun on our dime. All the time, behind the scenes, they're artificially creating traffic. It's all fake. There's nothing to it. It's all fake traffic, which some of us, Rodney being one of them, some of us called that out. We called out that this, none of this makes any sense. It doesn't make sense that it's taking this long to get a product out. It doesn't make sense to see, okay, just nothing but dump traffic. And then the V2 where you lied and Russ refusing to go on critical channels, nothing made any sense at all. They start doing their own. So now they've got two different bot software, third-party companies out there engaging the central exchanges. The team, the scammer team, internal Saitama, is now running this script to exploit DexScore, to exploit all these other sources to create the illusion of excessive hype. So you see all this traffic on the exchanges, you see the DexScore going crazy. It's all fake. It's all manipulative. And again, Nam's dumbass records this on his laptop and shares it with who I presume was individual one, stated in the document, who I assume is the one who dropped the dime. I can't say, but how else would they get the video? Unless it was an insider, because by their own admission, they wanted a small, tight-knit group of these scammers. They didn't trust anybody. So if it's a small, tight-knit group in this private telescam channel, and we know that it was only the four or five of them in there, it could only have been one of the four or five that shared the video, because only one of them would have had it. Well, we can do some easy elimination. We know it wasn't Manny the Rug Puller, and we know it wasn't Russ Cult Leader. Who are we left with? V wouldn't be that stupid, right? So, and the individual one, who I thought was Air Mansour. I can't prove it, but that's the only, again, process of elimination. If Air Mansour is the one who leaked the stuff, and he's named in here as having done some of this, well, why wouldn't they call him by name? Tells me he's likely an unindicted co-conspirator. I can't say, because they didn't call his name out. But it had to be an insider, is the point. It had to be one of these people in this little subgroup that did it. We know for sure Nam recorded it. Okay, we know it for sure. It took place in a private telescam chat, and we know for sure there was only the five or however many people in this room. So it had to be one of them, and we eliminate everybody else. Now, going forward on what Nam's doing, here's why I started laughing when I read the case on his more than everybody else's. This is straight out of the case document. Quote, Tran also made materially false and misleading public statements regarding his Saitama transactions. On September 15th, 2021, so this is before the strong run-up. For example, Tran posted to X at 8:17 a.m., I am buying more Saitama. That night, Tran posted to X an image of a price chart for Saitama and stated that Saitama's price had reached a new all-time high. While telling the public that he was buying more Saitama and touting its price, he actually sold nearly 1.2 trillion Saitama net that day, yielding proceeds of more than $8,000. On October 23rd, so now you're getting really close to the fail, the November 13th latest event and one of the peaks, Tran posted, quote, Tran posted X, I said, hold, along with an image depicting the Saitama mascot on a rocket, suggesting a rapid price increase. Meanwhile, same day, Tran sold approximately 1.53 trillion Saitama, yielding net proceeds of more than $90,000. Stop. So let me just scale this in simple form of what happened. Okay, 1.2 trillion Saitama in mid-September only got him $8,000. A month later, in October 23rd, 1.53 trillion Saitama. So not that much more, but it gets him $90,000. This is the level of climb that we're talking about when we say how unrealistic it was. But if you didn't follow what this is saying, what it's saying is that Nam Tran was, while doing the pump and dump, off the side, he was also telling you to hold. And while he was telling you to hold, he was dumping on your head. Because remember, he had certainly over 100 trillion Saitama. So he had a lot. He had a lot to go. And just with these small amounts, at least he had the state of mind to only chunk out sell. You know, okay, I only got $8,000 here. Only got $90,000 here. But that's still a significant climb for the same amount of tokens. So for 1 trillion, again, this is before the event, for 1.53 trillion, and he banks almost $100,000. Now, do the math in your mind. 100 times that amount, okay, in what he had sitting off in a wallet somewhere. But he was telling you to hold. They all were telling you to hold, remember? And while they were telling you to hold, they were dumping on your head, which is, again, Rodney was calling it out. I certainly was calling it out. And a couple of select others were calling it out. Some of the marks weren't calling it out, right? But some of us were calling it out that we saw obvious sells that were taking place. What we didn't know is that they were doing pump and dump off the side while they were doing the sells, and that they were still telling people to hold even though they're not holding themselves, and they're telling you something that they're not practicing because they wanted you to hold that liquidity in place so they could yank it from you. Nam has since deleted, I would argue, pretty much all of the different tweets that he did directly. So any of the tweets that he had done that would have gone to to the population, I can't find hide nor hair of any of them at this point. Only retweets still remain. What we would know, so this is now leading up to the fail, November 13th Vegas event. So he had done these dumps in September, and he only got just shy of $100,000. But as I said, he held a lot. He then sold over 143 trillion of the tokens, leading between October and the day before the failed November 13th Vegas event. 143 trillion. So you talk about the roughly 3 trillion that he sold before that, and then another 143 trillion. And you have to think, how much was this freaking dude holding? Especially because, you know, he had bought, and people thought he had bought up to 200 trillion. He got over $8,337,000 taken away from this business. Let's wrap it all up. After all this fiasco, windfall after windfall that they took little pieces. I'm talking Nam and all the rest of the scammer group, but they took little pieces before. They tested the waters. They dipped their toe in there. They tested the waters. They took little bits of it from you. Leading up to the fail, November 13th Vegas event, they ramped up their efforts. Nam was not the one most enriched. We knew that other people were more enriched than he was. But he certainly was there, and he certainly was contributing to a lot of the shill-type pumps and some of the technological pumps, as well as some of the third-party businesses that were helping to pump the token during the time. So the chief business officer was making shady moves, often shady back deals, to get these third-party companies to help pump the token on central exchanges while he, Max Hernandez, cult leader, and others are working in a back secret telescam chat, pumping, and DexScore and other places, pumping and shilling and hyping and doing everything while Noun's watching the door to make sure you guys that went to Telescam, you saw what they wanted you to see. You saw them giving you the rah-rah speeches. You saw them talk about FUD. I saw a video, and I forget whose it was, but I think it was the Spaces. But I saw a video, and Russ was talking about, oh, yeah, we keep dealing with FUD, and, you know, we have to keep fighting FUD 80% of the time. Tammy, Crypto Queen, she was in that chat. Sandstorm was in that chat. I can't remember who all was in there, but there were some names I remembered. And Russ is talking about, oh, it's just FUD and whatever, whatever. And they're addressing the Steve Rocket crypto situation where they're saying it's fake, none of this is true, and we're just focused and Max like it's fake and none of this is true. And all of those different videos that they were doing, everything that they were doing, it was all a facade. And Nam was right there helping with it. That's why I was trying to figure out, well, what the hell is this guy's background? He was damn good at what he did. He was damn good at the shady business. So it made me think he's got some experience and some history doing it. I was trying to find, couldn't find anything. So I can't say for sure. I am saying that he seemed to be very good at this shady crap that was going on with this. And he was right there in the front telling you to hold while dumping on your heads. But we already knew this. People that were in the cult didn't want to hear that. I don't mean cult now. I mean all the people in the Russ We Trust cult and the people that call themselves the Wolf Pack and the people that blindly believed these idiots and told the rest of us that we're FUDders and totally ignored us instead of listening to the basic fundamentals. You were gamblers. You rolled the dice. And some of you won, right? And some of you lost. But the truth is, you all lost. You all lost. If you didn't get completely out before that event, you lost. If you were stuck all the way through V2, you lost. You lost if you got into Cider Realty. You lost if you believed in the Lilly Finance associated with Saitama. You lost if you believe cult leader any damn thing he said. You lost if you watched this dude go on a coke binge with his whatever. You lost multiple ways. You took multiple L's. The thing to do is to accept that that's what happened because the case document's telling you, you lost. You can say it's fake. There's too much specificity in the evidence here. And you could even see in the case document, they actually grab screenshots of some of this chaos. Like, and some of it's hilarious, especially with from Tran. Some of it's hilarious, but they grab screenshots of this crap. GIFs of Pump It Up and people's laptops and all this shit. Like this, there's no way to confuse this. There's no way to confuse this other than you got taken for a ride. That's a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 reference. You got taken for a ride. You got scammed. And they did a pretty good job scamming you out of your money. And then the icing on the cake, I'm sorry, because I remember when he did it, is all of them, but specifically Nam, but all of them did it, you know, telling you to hold. HODL, just hold, just hold. And I did an episode a while ago, and I said, man, holding is a scam. I'm sorry. It's a scam. Taking profits is the key. I was saying that before many of these YouTubers who started saying it. And you can go and check the date stamps on stuff. I was saying that ages ago because I learned the hard way, especially with like Para Inu, I learned the hard way. The hold is a scam. It's to get you to, it's not a honeypot, it's to trap you long enough so that the rich mother fathers can get their stuff out. And then you're sitting there stuck on the rag like Kuma Inu and that mod who said, man, there's better projects out there, move on. And that freaking Leica, which is a beautiful document, that's why that Leica dude or lady wrote that document. Who knows? Maybe that was one of these people. I don't know. Anyway, Nam Tran, I was surprised. I was really surprised at just how guilty this guy was because he didn't come across like he would do these things. I mean, I guess you can't ever know, but these are the best scammers though. These are the most skilled scammers or the ones where the quiet ones, you know, you can't tell on the surface. That's why you should be doing your due diligence, why you should question, especially if it seems to be unrealistic. It doesn't make any sense. Saitama had at the time messaging because SafeMoon had similar messaging. And that's what got a lot of people on board because SHIB didn't have any of that crap. SHIB didn't have reflections. SHIB wasn't doing birds. SHIB wasn't doing the same type of marketing. SHIB wasn't creating a wallet. SHIB wasn't doing the things that SafeMoon would eventually do. Look what happened to the SafeMoon leads. Same thing, right? It was all a joke. You know that now, seeing the case doc, but many people were telling you that all the red flags were there. And some of you simply believed so fervently you could not put past look, I want to gamble, and we don't begrudge it. But the bottom line here is you got taken, you got took, and it happened multiple times. That's what's even worse. We now have to talk about Manny the Rug Puller. We got to talk about Manny the Rug Puller, because Manny the Rug Puller, the last one standing, and just got, he said, the letter said he left. I think he was fired. I can't prove it, but I think it was fired from Cytochain. And people have hopium about Cytochain. Well, Cytochain was getting yanked off exchanges. People were complaining and pissed off. And then the Cytopro got yanked off the stores, mobile app stores. I can't say what's happening, but it doesn't surprise me. Now, could Cytochain turn into something? It's still possible, because the truth is the blockchain is just a tool. It doesn't, you know, people exploit the shit. The flaw of Cytochain, and the reason I would never advocate it, it's not renounced. So if you're going to do a layer zero blockchain and not renounce the fucking contract, I'm not going to support you, because we already know what it is. We know the game. I understand why they're not renouncing it. It's because they think they got to do more development. I'm still not going to support it, because if you're a layer zero, you should truly be independent. You should be standalone with no leader and nobody who can rug the damn thing. We don't know if Manny still has the key to it. Like, there's so much risk there. I would never advocate it. And as I said on the past, I would have to see them get back on PancakeSwap and Uniswap with some, you know, at this point, wormhole tokens to see, help people get out that are stuck. They're not going to go to your fucking tool. So until I see more acting like a business, I would never advocate that. I don't care that it's a layer zero. As I said about the car salesman on Seifu and Seifu X, what good is it when nobody's going to use it, right? That's the problem with so many blockchains. It only matters if somebody uses it. We have a lot of blockchains that don't get used. Pulse Chain hardly gets used. It gets used, but nowhere near Telos, for example. Why? Because sometimes you just don't need the blockchain. That's the truth of it. And you got to have backing. The base, Coinbase. People are using it, but for what? Garbage. Vol coins. Sony's coming out with theirs. That might turn into something, but it might be Vol coins. Sui. Vol coins, garbage. And then they're in a scandal because people think people dumped money out of that one. It's all around us, ladies and gentlemen. It's all around us. So it's not specific to these idiots. I'm saying, though, the red flags are what you should look for. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. But most importantly, the promises are just unrealistic and outrageous and didn't make any damn sense. Namtron surprised me in how slick the guy was and how he hid what he was doing behind the scenes. And I know that the Manny the Rug Puller episode is going to be a lot more interesting just by virtue of the fact that he was the last one standing. We're going to learn a lot more about his involvement, but we've already dug in pretty deep on what was happening with the team and Saitama Inu. So the Manny the Rug Puller one, we now have to dig into Cytochain. We're going to talk about that evolution. We're going to talk about the move to it and everything that happened and the reason that it almost cussed. And I was trying not to, but sometimes it comes out. The reason that it screwed up. We're going to talk about that. We're going to dig in because it's important. Some people don't know a lot of this stuff, but it's important. It's the only way you can learn. It's the only way you can get better. But I am still surprised. I'm really surprised at NAM because I didn't expect that at all. And it's interesting. The people that got out early, you know, the Michael Thompson, Gabe to some degree, Steve, Willie, you know, the ones that got out, you know, each one of them were attacked for abandoning each one. I remember for sure Willie D was attacked. Steve was attacked. They were attacked. And then they're the ones that they were saved from what would eventually happen. And we still need to know who the person was in Australia. We still don't have that answer.